Hey guys, I'm Esther, owner of Sarath Design.
And I'm Jen, owner of Hella June Creative. Welcome to Better, the Brand Designer Podcast.
We're all about broadcasting conversations that support our design community, uncovering industry secrets, and offering actionable advice.
Just remember, the only designer you need to be better than
is the one you were yesterday. Hi guys, welcome back to Better, the Brand Designer Podcast. I am so, so excited for today's conversation because today I am joined by Jose Roa, one of my friends, developers, and just like we geek out together on everything, Squarespace and coding, and it's so fun. And I'm so excited to have him here in this conversation.
Hi everyone. I'm so excited to be here too.
Yeah, it's going to be such a good conversation. We have so many questions. I was writing the outline and Jose already said right before we recorded, there's so many questions. I don't know how we're going to get through it all. We're not. We probably could do a part two with you already.
Oh, I'm down for that too.
It's going to be good. We're going to be talking all about working with a developer. Jose is a developer. He's been doing it for a few years now. He's worked on many of my sites. He also worked on the Better Podcast website. If you've checked that out, it's incredible. And he was the best person for that job. So we're so thankful for him. Before we get into our conversation, I wanted to start with some roses and thorns. So Jose, how's your week been going? Do you have some highs and lows to share with us?
Absolutely. My week has been great. I'll say the biggest rose for this week, it was just this, the opportunity of being recording a podcast with you guys. This is great. So fun. Such a great experience. I'm very excited. I was very looking forward to it. And not so sweet, the thorns will be, I would say, making time for myself. This past week just being a little challenging. Just, you know, when life keeps throwing things at you, it's just, you don't find time to do the things you have to or want to do. And that could be very challenging. I see a little bit of that this past week, but aside from that, all good.
Yeah. That can be really hard when you like don't have the time to really like even sit down and think about what you want to do because you don't have the time to do anything.
Absolutely. When you have so little time that you get some, it's like you have so many things that you wanted to do that you don't even know what to do. Like you finally got the time, but you don't know what to start with.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I have a whole like secret list of things that I want to do. And it's just in my phone and my notes app. And it's like, I don't even know what they are. They're just like random stuff to do around the house. They're like fun things I want to do, like crochet or water my plants or plant this thing or like clean the dishwasher, like stupid things like that, that I feel like when I have a spare moment, I just go to that task list.
I recently started doing that too. So that's a very good thing because I noticed that exact thing that I will have the time and then I'll be, oh, I knew I had something in mind like 2 days ago that I wanted to do, but what was it? And from that day on, I started like just writing it down. So it had help a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, it's nice to have the list. I like to keep that list as stuff that's like not that important, but like if I have time, I might as well get to it.
Yeah, exactly. That's just the list.
My rose and thorns for this week. Well, I was in Las Vegas last week with my partner and his brother and his brother's partner, and it was so much fun. I had only gone to Vegas for a very short, like 8-hour layover. And so we got 5 days and we did so much. We went to a show. We went to Cirque du Soleil. We ate at some incredible restaurants. We went to a hockey game. And then we also went to the Grand Canyon. Even though it was foggy, it was very foggy, but it was fun.
I did see that on your feet.
Yes. It was like on one side of the canyon, full fog. You couldn't see anything. And then on the other side, you could see some stuff. So I would have been so sad if it was all foggy and you couldn't see anything because you drive 2-3 hours to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to go there, Grand Canyon. Sounds like a great experience.
Yeah. Have you been to Vegas before?
No Vegas. So I had a discussion with somebody not that long ago about it, that they love Vegas. And I thought, I just don't know because it has this reputation of like gambling and drinking. And I don't really drink much, neither. I like to gamble. So I'm like, I don't know, but somebody did tell me, no, but the shows, the food is just great.
Oh my gosh, the food was amazing. I went to Vanderpump Rules like restaurant, and that was the best restaurant that I ate at there. But also, like, my sister-in-law, she was pregnant, so she wasn't drinking. We weren't drinking very much. Like, we had some drinks, but not like going crazy. And there's just so much to do besides the strip. Like, I went into a couple of different neighborhoods to kind of see, like, the arts district was my favorite. So yes, there is, like, you can go do all the stuff that like is typical, but there's also so much more.
I mean, when they told me the food is good, it's like, sign me up. I'm a foodie at heart. So that's enough for me.
To be fair, I don't know if I would go again. Like, unless I was going specifically for a show. I feel like I got the full experience that I needed to, unless I wanted to go to another show.
That's fair. I feel like I probably will feel the same way, but I want to give it a shot, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Anyways, my thorn was then that we got back on Saturday at 6 a.m. because our flight was a red-eye flight from Vegas to Chicago. So we got home. Or we landed at 6 a.m., then we had to drive home almost 7 a.m. And then I slept like all day Saturday. And I thought that was going to be good to like catch up on sleep from the whole week. But that completely screwed my weekend. And then Monday was really hard to get into work. And now it's Tuesday. And I'm like, oh, I have so much to do. Like, I felt a little stressed last night. But it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're here, and this is like our little oasis to kind of just rest for a moment and get to chat with each other.
Yeah, love it.
Well, let's jump into our conversation. We're going to be talking about working with a developer. And first, I wanted to introduce officially Jose. So I'm going to read his bio. Jose is a Venezuelan-born self-taught web developer and wellness enthusiast. After 7 years working in all sorts of different non-fulfilling corporate jobs, he discovered his passion for coding and the limitless possibilities that it offers. His expertise lies within front-end web developing, and the main languages in his tech stack are JavaScript, and then, of course, HTML and CSS. He believes in the power of websites as the first impressions on your business, and he loves to help small businesses make their visions a reality. He's a foodie at heart, we already talked about that, and a lifelong learner that loves to read, work out, and travel with his wife. So welcome!
Hi, so glad to be here.
Is it weird hearing your little bio back?
It is a little odd. But I like it. I'm like, oh, that guy sounds interesting.
Like you are interesting. I think coolest part about like your whole bio, but your whole story is that you're really self-taught and you've created this life and like this coding career all on your own, which is incredible.
I know. I journal about that very often, about like how grateful I am of the life that I created out of an idea, out of nowhere, out of a very thin opportunity. And it's just, I'm so grateful because I am really passionate about what I do. And I am so lucky to have a job that I look forward to do. It doesn't feel like a task. It's like, I want to do it.
That's huge. And I feel like with development, because obviously you and I geek out about it, it's kind of like playing the whole time.
Yes. It's totally it. It's just, you just try different things. There are so many ways of doing a specific task that you just play and try. And even if it's something you've done before, sometimes you feel fun and you just try a different way and it just works better.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I would love for people to know a little bit more about how you got into development. So what's your origin story and how did you get to where you are now?
It is a very fun story. So I had to first start with two shout outs. One to my beautiful wife, Kayla, and her acupuncture business, Estetera, which helped start all of this. And my very good friend, mutual friend of us, Daniela, at Lunaria Design Studios, which also helped me get to where I am. So the story goes so I was just working my corporate job, just doing my things, and my wife needed to start her own business. I had her dream for a while. She's an acupuncturist, and she wanted to have her own clinic. So with all the stuff that I'm sure everybody knows, it takes to create your business and start from zero. One of them is your website, right? So we hire Daniela as our brand identity designer, and she was wonderful. She did everything we asked her to do, and it was fantastic. After a while, we were like, okay, now we need the website, and she didn't offer websites by then. So we were going to hire somebody else, but I just like, you know what? Why not give it a shot? Let me just try it out. Why not? And I spent an entire week watching YouTube videos, reading articles, like learning like crazy. That's the thing about me. When I feel passionate about something, I just go full on crazy. I don't see anything else. So I learned a lot and it took about 2 weeks for me to develop that website. And by the time that I was done, I was like very proud of it. So I show it to Daniela. I was like, hey, I just want your designer eye and let me know if there's something you feel like to change. Just want your opinion. I just really came up with this. And she loved it. She said, this is amazing. Did you pay somebody? I said, no, I did it myself. And she said, well, would you be willing to do some websites for me if I design them? And I'm like, yeah, why not? And that's how everything started. From there, she started giving me websites like here and there. Then she introduced me to you, which I'm extremely grateful for because we created this great friendship as well. And then you start giving me websites. And then, you know, other people just start coming with little jobs here and there. I saw the opportunity. I didn't see a future on my current job at the time. So I said, you know, I feel like if I spend more time doing this, this could really be something like for me, a business. So I just jumped ship and did it. And it's just been great since then.
How long has it been since you did that first website for Kayla?
That was November of 2021.
So it has been a year and a half now. Yes. That you've been doing it. Mm-hmm. And look how far you've come. And like, yeah. I think you can also speak to like all the things that you've learned along the way, like the different platforms and languages. And I mean, you just worked with me on a Webflow project and you didn't even know Webflow at all. Like, can you talk to that of how you kind of just learn on the go?
Yeah, there is something to be said about learning when you're thrown to the wolf or thrown to the fire. It's just, I really strive with that. It's just weird. I love to put myself into those situations. I like to put myself on situations that make me uncomfortable because I exceed the most there. So there's something to be said about just the opportunity that I feel if I would have gone to school, I might not be as passionate just because it would have become a little mundane. I don't know. It's very hard to say if the what if.
Or it would have maybe feel like work or school.
Exactly.
But for me, it was opposed to like a hobby that turned into yes, a job.
Exactly. And for me, it was a lot of like, here, I want you to do this. And I'm like, okay, I got to figure out how to do that. And I like to read a lot. I will like research, see there's so many possibilities on the developing world. Like there's not a right or wrong answer for most questions. There's just the way that it worked for you then. And I just love that. And for example, with the Webflow project that you just talked about, it was fantastic. It was great. I jumped into it being very scared of the platform and left being like, oh my gosh, I love it. I want to do so many more projects. And since then, I've been playing a little bit with it more to learn even more. And it's just like that. It feels like play every time I'm learning. I feel like I'm just, it's a hobby. It's just having fun.
I love that. I think that that's the key to any job is to find the fun in it. I find that with designing the websites or designing brands. And so it's perfect to like, I love when I work with you too, because I feel like you have the energy from the development standpoint of like, hey, I think we should do this new thing in here to like make it more exciting. Like you have definitely an eye for development specifically. So I think you're living in your true, like what you're supposed to be doing. supposed to be. That's something I'm learning a lot. Is it supposed to be? I don't know. But I think that you're really living out a passion, and that's so cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say I just have a great time. And when I create a relationship with a client, like you or Daniela, for example, it's great because I feel trusted of like, hey, I just added this here. I hope you like it. And 98% of the times you guys like it. And it's just like, I feel the freedom to just like, oh, I just saw this effect over here. So I thought I'd try it. And it looks very well with the style of your website. So I just put it in. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it just works pretty
well.
And
if not, it just gets taken out and it's like, all right, you still learned something new.
No hard feelings. I save the snippet and I use it later.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious because you had mentioned a little bit of, it's a lot of problem solving, right? Like trial and error. And as you're going through kind of figuring things out, I'm curious how, if this is something you struggle with, like the fear of failure, or how you've overcome that while you're problem solving and going through new platforms.
Yeah, that is a very good question. I don't know if a struggle will be the right word for it, because at this point, I expect it. There is always going to be a roadblock on the websites. And I want it to be, honestly. Websites that I get done in 3 days, nothing really happened. Kind of boring. Pay the bills.
It's no fun.
It's no fun. So I kind of expect to be challenged, to be, how am I going to make this work? And it's just, when I start expecting it, it makes it a lot easier and it doesn't make me struggle with it. So at this point, I have my processes that when I feel stuck on something for longer than 30 minutes to an hour, I know to step back. I need to push myself out of the desk and go do anything else, whatever it is, completely take my mind out of it. And true story, and I know you can relate to this, you'll be driving in a car going somewhere, that's how I'm going to make it work. And 90% of the time, you get back, you try that, and it works. That is the solution.
Yeah. You and I were talking the other day about like staying up super late on a project. And you're like, I can't stay up late because my brain doesn't like have the time to even think about the problem. It's just trying to like force something and it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it does not work for me. I need the ability to step aside, take a break. And when with clients, I give them a time frame most of the time. The website technically would take half of that, but I need to give myself the leeway, especially depending on the complexity of the project, to have the time to think, to make it right. Because I also think you could push through it and just do it, but it might not be for the benefit of your client, because it might look well at the moment, but if you're not very thoughtful with the type of code that you're using, mostly CSS or even JavaScript, it could start having bugs and it's a pain and it could come down 6 months down the line. And that's not what the experience you want to give your client.
And you put band-aids over band-aids.
Yes,
over band-aids.
And it just never stops. So it's like, if this all could be avoided.
The important tag everywhere, just to like,
we're important everywhere. Don't worry about it.
Do you have a process that you follow when you start developing a website? And if you have one, has that changed since you started?
Yeah, I change it by the clients too, depending on their needs. And I obviously have my own, the way that I approach it, but it also depends. Am I working on a single project at the moment? Do I have two projects that are kind of overlapping? So it really changed how I go. But each individual process, I have a small list of how I'm going to do it. For example, every project starts for me with the global styles, creating the things that are going to be repeated, the things that are staying, the sizes of the font, whatever font is going to be used, all of that, because that's basically the bones of what we're going to do, right? And after that, I always start creating the website by the header, then the footer, because it's what repeats all across the entire site. And then I start doing the homepage, which tends to be the hardest one, or like the more challenging one, the one with the most effects or more interactions. And it tends to be very quickly from there. So honestly, the first, the header, the footer, the global styles, the header, the footer, and the homepage are what take like the longest time, and everything else is pretty easy from there.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, because I think when you start with the homepage or in the header and footer, like you have already a lot of styles that you've created that you can then duplicate, right?
Yes. Yeah, and it really helps with why we talked about the creativity. It's a lot easier to see things visually that go well if you're going to get out of outside of the lines, per se, once you have those like main fixed things that they're staying. Been like a little bit of attention to that is when there is something on the website that might be very challenging to do because of maybe conflicts in between the code, something will be redundant, or it's just very hard to do. That's when I like to offer solutions to my clients when those type of things come up. I don't like to just say, hey, that can be done, so forget about it. I like to be more of like, hey, this will prove to be challenging because of this or whatever reason. I also like to explain and then say like, but I come up with this. What do you think about this? How does this look for you? And I feel like that's more proactive, and it also allows the project to move faster instead of just being like, no, that can be done. Just come up with something else, let me know, and I'll let you know if that can be possible.
Yeah, and I think that really speaks to like having a good designer-developer relationship, because you can have that collaboration and the back and forth and like problem solving together, as opposed to you just develop it. Like if you look at it in the way of like, oh, you fix it and then I'll tell you if it's possible, that turns into a pixel pusher or a code pusher. I don't know what it's called for non-designers, but like you're just doing the job as opposed to like actually being a team member.
Exactly. And I like to see my relationship with my clients like that. Like I like to think that we are collaborating on the project, that we become a team for the length of the project. And it's just, it has to be a lot of back and forth, a lot of ideas. Like at the end of the day, it's not my design. It's yours, or you are the one presenting it to the client. So I want to make sure that whatever it is, the workaround that I come up with, you are satisfied with it, or you think it's good enough, or it meets your expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. We have quite a few questions that were collected from the Facebook group, and I feel like this is the perfect time to kind of jump into them, because a lot of that is the designer developer relationship, like how you work together, the differences. So if it's okay with you, I'd love to jump into those.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's start with kind of a basic one. This is from Jez Towner Campbell, who asks, what are some of the key differences between a web designer and web developer? So when do you hire a web designer and when do you have to bring in a developer? And then what would you call someone who designs websites and page builders like Squarespace, Wix, WordPress?
Yeah, so you will call them also web developers as well. Like primarily do websites on website builders. I just find it easier to give a project like that. Creating a website from scratch, it's something that is for very big companies. So since we mostly work with smaller companies, it's just better to use a web, like a website builder for sure. When to get a web designer or a web developer? Well, there's two different things, and a lot of people offer both, but there are definitely two different things. You will get a web designer when maybe you are a brand identity designer and you just only do the logos, color palettes, and fonts. So that's when a client might be asking you for a website. So maybe that's when you look for somebody that designs websites, a web designer. They create a wireframe with all the ideas and everything. And that's when you probably will find a web developer that will create that. My only concern with people that might want to do that, like hire one person for something and somebody else for other, the issues that could come up on the developer phase. When there's a lot of these designers that get very, very excited and very creative, and they start doing all these very other things that might be very challenging for the developer, or without you knowing, as somebody that hired the web designer, it will be very costly for you because the developer will explain to you, hey, this will take like 2 months to develop and this will be the rate, and you were not expecting that. So it's always good to maybe find somebody that offers both if you can, or somebody that will be willing to work with you as a designer. Like, I would not say I'm a web designer, but I do know how to design websites. So I could offer that to somebody like, hey, let's work together, you as a designer, and I kind of give you the guidelines and come up with some wireframes. And since I'll be the one that will develop it for you as well, I'll keep everything in mind, including your budget as well.
Yeah. Typically, web designers and developers are separate people, but they need to have a little bit of understanding between the two, right? Like, I consider myself a web designer with development experience, and Jose considers him a web developer with design experience.
Exactly.
So I will design, like you said, the wireframe of everything and then hand it off. But I can develop if I needed to. It's just a lot more time. Mm-hmm. So I know, but I also don't know all of it. So like, I don't know JavaScript and Jose does. So Jose would be more of a developer because he understands a lot more languages. He is really in that world every single day. Whereas I'm mostly in the design world every day, designing websites, designing the wireframes, designing brands, fonts, and like how things work together. So I think that a good way to differentiate the two is the designer is the aesthetics and the developer is the functionality. Although that's not fully accurate, because the designer needs to understand the functionality in order to pass it off. So there's, yeah, it's blurred lines, but if you don't develop, you can't really call yourself a developer.
Yeah, I would definitely say that you should have some understanding. If you want to become, you don't consider yourself already, and you want to become a web designer, you should educate yourself a little bit. You don't necessarily need to know how to code per se, but just kind of have an understanding of how the coding happens or how it's done. Mm-hmm. So like, keep that in consideration. Very important.
Yeah. And then to the second point of the conversation about like, would you call someone who designs websites in Squarespace or other website builders a developer? I think it depends. I think that you wouldn't always call yourself a developer unless you are doing some level of coding. Like if you're just plugging in images and text, I don't think that's a developer. Maybe Jose, you think differently. What's your thoughts?
No, you know, that's a good point. I wasn't thinking of that, because every time I touch any of these like website
we
builders,
have to go into the code because we
I had to go
obsessed.
Into the code. I had to change it. But you're right. If you're somebody that just gets a template, let's say Squarespace gets a template, and you just plug in your copy and your images, no, I would not call you a developer. You're just somebody that's using a website builder. If you are one to,
you might be able to call yourself a designer if you're changing up the template. But if you're not changing the template, then I wouldn't even call yourself a web designer.
No. Yeah,
you could say, I'm like, is there a term for that? Like a website assistant?
I'm not a website sure. assistant.
A website creation assistant. There also is, I wanted to kind of like slip this in there, a full stack developer who, a full stack developer is somebody who could code from scratch. They know so many different languages. They don't need a website builder. They can create everything fully.
Yeah.
Income. Yeah, that's a full stack developer.
A little explanation for that, just very quickly, is you have a front end developer, which is why I consider myself the most, but you also have a back end developer. And if you do have the ability to do both, that's when you become a full stack developer. And the front end developer is what it sounds like, the front, like what you see, what you interact with, what you look at. The back end is everything else, everything that is behind, everything that is making the website run. So that's pretty much it.
Yes. I hope that was helpful. Our second question is from Simonka Silarova, and they ask, how do you want my files to be set up when I hand them over to you? I work in Figma, but is that what you use as well? What else should I have ready for you so that you can work well? I work with a developer who can start without me being finished with the whole design of the website. Sometimes I like this, but is that common?
I would say it's common. I know people that do that. Myself, I do anything the client will request. It's totally doable to start the website just having the wireframe, of course. The best way to do it, however, is to have at least the entire wireframe, just because when you're developing, you want to know the kind of things that are going to repeat, the kind of things that you're going to see a lot, the kind of things that are only that you do once in just this page. So I think it's very important that you have the entire wireframe before you send it to your developer. Even in like if you're working on the different views, like mobile or tablet or whatever, that's totally okay because it just will be adjustment. But it's just more about the type of elements that will be used. So I do know Figma because you, Esther, like Figma as well. And it's great. I really like it too. I work with XD too. It's really whatever the preference. It doesn't really change much. Figma has some tools that really help on the developing process that are very nice, but they're not necessary. And aside for that, just maybe sending all the assets, if you want the developer to add them, it could be part of your contract that the developer does not add any copy or any pictures, and that's just on you. But that also, it's depending on your agreement with your developer. But yeah, I feel like the best way is sending at least the entire wireframe and maybe a Google Drive or a Dropbox with all the assets if the agreement is that the developer will be adding all of those.
What about like inside your Figma or XD file with colors and fonts? How do you typically like that set up?
Yeah, it's very, very useful when you create the color palette, like you create maybe a different page on Figma that is just the color palette with the hex codes. It's extremely useful as well when you create a guideline for your copy, for your text. You want to make sure you are specific and consistent with your H1, H2, H3, H4, and your paragraph text, even button text, or if you're using any type of mono type of text. It just helps a lot. I believe any good designer has that. They already know the consistency of the design is very important, but it really helps the developer if you create tags in Figma, for example, that when you click on the text on whatever page, let's say the about, you know that this is header 2 and you don't have to guess if it's header 2 or header 3. So that way you already created the size for it, like whatever measurement you're using for. And it really helps with the consistency and makes everything run smoothly and nothing is a guess.
That's great. I think it's super helpful to basically, as a designer, do everything in your power to help the developer's job be easy, because the developer's job is already really difficult to code everything out and take and like work with different interactivity. So having those basics like colors and the font hierarchy is super important. And then I also love that you said about putting everything in a Google Drive. It's not always, at least like what I've worked with you, it's not always super necessary to export everything, right? Because on Figma, you can go and export. On XD, you can do it as well, like tag them for export and then export all at the same time. But if you want certain naming styles for your assets, then I think that it's best for you as a designer to create that for SEO purposes, because the developer is not an SEO expert either.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's very important too. I'm glad that you mentioned the SEOs, because most developers know a little bit of SEOs, but as you said, it's not what we are offering. So for example, when you on your design too, you want to be mindful of how much you use your header one, because technically on SEOs, you only use header one time on each page. So that's important. So make sure you're consistent with that on your files. But yeah, with the pictures, it's great because it makes it super easy to just download it and go straight to the asset. And that's it. You don't have to do anything else compared to if you download it from XD or Figma, then it just export as example image 3 or something like that. And then it makes it harder for everybody if you have to change it yourself later, or you wanted the developer to do it. It's an extra step that feels kind of unnecessary when you could have just done it from Google Drive.
Yeah. Also, to the SEO point, like as a web designer and a web developer, you don't have to be an expert in SEO, but you do need to have some sort of understanding of it. I would always recommend to my clients, I'm not an SEO expert, so if you want that, you're going to need to hire somebody else separately to do that in the future. Because as a designer, I always do set them up with the basics, so it's not just like throwing them nothing, but an SEO expert will help them with tags and like all of that and making sure that content actually speaks to what you do. So just a little throwing that out there.
Putting that there.
Our next question is from Alex McGinnis, who asks, can you hire a developer for specific development tasks? For example, a section you can't seem to code or figure out yourself, and how would you go about reaching out to somebody for something like this?
Absolutely. I feel like that is something that is not advertised much. But yeah, I do that. I do that actually very often. I have certain clients that will literally come to me and be like, hey, I have this website. It's done. But I want to pay you for 2 hours of you just do your thing, add some effects. And sometimes they give me guidelines. Sometimes they just tell me to just do whatever I think is good. And that's fine. And like I build them by the hour. In that case, they could put a limit or they can just tell me to do something and I just send them an invoice for the amount of hours it takes. I also personally offer like a day intensive or what in the design world is called a studio day. So it's like I dedicate my entire work day to that website and I'll get done as much as they ask me to do. Some people have sent me lists and it's just like, get this list done. And of course, most of the time I get it done within that day. Sometimes I can't. So I always ask them to put it in order of priority. And that's totally normal, totally common. It also depends of the type of project. If you're maybe working, that had happened to me too, that working on a website that somebody else already developed could make it a little challenging and a little time consuming. To kind of understand what was done for you to edit it. That's something that I would like people to understand, that when you are hiring somebody that is working on top of something that somebody else did, you need to allow sometimes to understand, because it's not as easy as just move this. Is you have to understand how was that move originally so you can keep the integrity of the entire website and not have it crash or have things being overridden that should not be overridden. But yes, to the question, it's totally possible. Just reach out. Just say like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. If you want to be very thorough on an email, we're sending maybe a Loom video or just anything explaining what the situation is. It's totally possible. I would just jump in a call, see what it is, give my assessment of the situation, and we can go from there.
Yeah, I think it's super helpful to get to just talk to you through any of the issues. Like I've personally worked with you on probably all of those like offerings that you have separate from a full website. Like I've done multiple full websites, but you've also helped me for like 2 hours on something. You've helped me put in a special section for a site. You've also come in when a developer's worked on a full site and then completed it. So there's a lot of ways that like you can work with Jose and other developers. It's just kind of if you're going through something and you need help figuring out, maybe you as a designer can't figure it out yourself what you actually need, but talking to Jose or another developer about, hey, here's what I need to solve, like what's the best course of action? Because maybe it is just an hour, but maybe he's going to need to spend 2 days on it depending on what the issue is. Going off of that, we have another question from Simonka, who asks, when the project's over, what are monthly, quarterly, annual tasks that you should keep up with a developer to keep the site running smoothly? I would love to sell maintenance plans to clients, so the developer would do these annually or monthly for the client, and I'm not sure how to get started with that.
That's a good question. I mean, there's different little things that people should get into the habit of doing. For example, I know a lot of people that they have their website and then they don't really go in it for like could be 3 or 4 months without them even stopping by and seeing that everything is running. Well, things happen, things break. It seems weird, but it does, especially when you have a hosting platform or like a website builder. sometimes they do updates that something just stopped working the way that it should. So it's very good practice to check. But one thing that I always have to change every year on the website that I work on is the copyright at the bottom, like changing the year of your copyright. That is a good thing. Always checking your legal pages. That's always good practice. But in general, if you want to offer something that is monthly or yearly, that is more for clients that they just don't want to deal with it. They want, they have a store maybe, or they have something that you just change every quarter, every couple months, maybe every couple weeks. So, but they don't want to deal with that. They don't want to even touch it, don't want to even know about it. That's when you can offer this type of packages that like, hey, my developer will do the changes all the time. Maybe you have a client that just changed their mind all the time and they want to redo things all the time. Maybe you can offer it to them.
But also, I would say like to that, yes, you can offer it, but make sure you're okay offering it. Because me personally, I do not want to deal with that. Like, I don't want to deal with monthly tasks because then they feel like they can ask you for everything. But sometimes it can be good if the pricing is right and it's something just like to add on. So I think it kind of depends on the client and the exact project.
Absolutely. I would say that you need to be careful. Yeah. Who you offer that to. Make sure it's somebody that you know, because yeah, people will, you offer a hand and they will take the entire arm. Of meaning that then your entire month go to them. They're not really paying you that much. And you thought it was going to be a like change of picture every 2 months. But now end up being like every month they're just asking a lot of things. A good thing to avoid this type of misunderstanding if you do go through it is make a very clear contract. Make a very clear guideline of what is that you cover. If you said that you will change any text and pictures and that's it, make sure it's in writing so you can tell that to the client in a polite way. And it's like, this is what the membership is.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think that they could also come to you and say like, oh, well, you're on retainer. Can you create this whole new page or can you create this whole new section? And that can be very time consuming. If you're not a developer yourself, you might have to hire a developer to come in and do that. And that's going to go beyond your 4-8 hours of retainer work a month. Exactly. So yes, to what Jose said, be very clear about what you do. And you can always say to the client, hey, this is actually out of scope, but here's a proposal for like this particular ask that you want. Because exactly. Then you can keep the relationship going. If it's a good relationship, there's no harm in keeping this going and helping them out because you want their website to keep being good, especially because it's then in your portfolio. New clients look at it as well. So there's pros and cons for sure.
For sure.
Our last question is from Gloria Novello, who asks, how do you market yourself as a web developer for other designers?
Oh, Gloria, that is a great question that I don't have the answer to. Truthfully, my marketing comes from word of mouth. I like to think of me like I'm very personable and I like to create meaningful relationship with people. Like I don't like to just have a side and that's it. I like to talk to people. I like to understand where they're coming from. And that has really helped me for people to then give me other opportunities or people bringing other people they know or put me out there. For example, Esther just now interviewing me.
Yeah, I'm marketing and now myself. Hopefully, all of you are going to work with him today. Every single designer on here, you should work with him now, seriously.
So it's like, you know, just put yourself out there. For example, I'm terrible at social media. I've been meaning to start posting and put myself more out there, but it's just something that doesn't come naturally. I understand the importance of it, so I'll do it. But it's just, to me, the best way is make your job good that people want to recommend you. Make what you do good enough that people are just so happy to have worked with you that they had no hesitation in recommend your name. And that's the way that I market.
I think that's probably the best piece of advice. Not all of the like post consistently, you're going to these groups or any of that. Like we hear that all the time, but just be good at what you do, be excited about what you do. You talked about it before of like how passionate you are and you're always learning new things. Like continue doing that and the people you work with will recommend you and you'll get on podcasts.
And things like that.
That'd be great. And things like that. Okay, well, that is it for our inbox questions. But I, like I said at the beginning, I have a whole list of other questions that we can wrap up this conversation with. So I wanted to kind of get into something that we haven't quite talked about is how do you manage conflicts or disagreements with web designers during the development process? Have you had that? And what does that look like?
That is a very good question. You know, I am not scared of conflict, so I don't know if I would call any of the situations that might come to me issue, but they have these disagreements. They have been back and forth, but I just have a rule that I like to keep my designers as much as I can on the loop so things are progressing and they can give me their feedback as it goes. I like to be very truthful, very straightforward. Like, be clear about what you are going to do, what you offer. This is where, and again, a contract could be very good. So it's like, if we agreed and you send me a wireframe with 5 pages, don't come and then show me another 2 because that's outside of the scope. And that's something that we might be able to do, but understand that it's outside of what we already agreed. That would say the biggest struggle has been with a bigger team that I had one time. So there were, I would say, too many opinions. So you didn't know who to please. And Preach. It's hard. Yes. Because at the end of the day, you're offering a service. So you want to make sure your client is happy with what they have. You may have your opinions, but as long as it's not affecting your integrity and least realistic and within the scope of the agreement, you should just follow what the customer wants. The problem is when you don't know exactly what they want. And that's when communication is. And in this situation, I had to be like, okay, I need your team to please figure it out exactly what it is. Send me a list and I'm going to follow that list. And this will be what we will do. And just like that, you have to finish your way. Be truthful. Don't be scared of confrontation and say like, this is just too much. You have too many people dealing with this. You need to put your ideas together and then come to me.
Yeah, working with a team is always difficult because there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen. But I think what the most important point that you said there is communication, like keeping it open and sharing like honestly what is going on in your life. Maybe some things come up in your life or also the project itself, like challenges that you thought we're going to work and it just isn't. Like there's always a solution there. And I think that issues can come up if either side is so strong and like, it has to do this way. It has to be done in this manner or look exactly right. Like you're always going to have things that change and it's challenging. I mean, it's challenging working with anybody, but also like as a designer and you guys are designers listening, you already know that things can get hard. So like do your best to work with a developer with the mindset of like, okay, I want to like make his job or her job easy as well. And then you go and you have the best relationship.
Yeah, I think the biggest part is communication and be clear that when something happens, also explain what the issue is with that. Don't just say that, no, we can do that or no, that can be done. Explain why so they can also understand and you guys can come up with a solution together. That's why I really like to think about my clients as we are a team working on this. Like we are both want the best for the client. So let's work together to figure it out.
Agreed. Can you tell us about the most complex project that you worked on?
Well, up to recently when we did the Webflow website, that is the current most complex one in a way. But before that was definitely the better, the podcast website.
We made it hard for you.
It wasn't so much that the website was too crazy. It was just like, I felt so like, this is very important. I was so honored when you guys reached out to me to do it. I felt literally like I just won my Academy Award. I'm like, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad, for everything you have done for me. I was so honored that I put a lot of pressure on myself to make it just right. And yeah, it was challenging, but it was fun and it was great. And I just love the website, love how it looked, everything. There's not a single piece in that website that I felt like, okay, that's good enough. Like, I took my time, and you know that that project was a little longer project, but it was because I wanted to make sure everything was right. Everything were fine. Yeah. Everything just no
and
issues.
It's beautiful. Like, yes. So good. Was there like a specific part of that website that was most challenging?
Yeah. So when I was doing that website, I was learning a lot of JavaScript at the time. And it really worked great because I needed to use some. But, you know, as you're learning, there are things that I did on that website that now it's like, okay, easy. Like, I can do it. But I had to create it first for your website. And it was challenging, but it was very rewarding. And as I said, I love to learn like that when I get thrown to the wolf. And it really helped me to cement and understand, like, my understanding of what was I doing. So,
like that, I think the circle, like the words on a circle, I think it's on the about page, right? Like, I feel like that one was hard.
Yeah, that took a little
bit. But then you used it and you did it on your own site too.
Yes, I did. Oops. But I just love it so much. It took a while to really fully understand how to use the JavaScript correctly to do that work, to make that work. But yeah, I would say that was the most challenging part, because it was one of the things that the about page was the second page I worked on. And I kind of had to leave that part like unfinished. And had to keep going. And then I will do two more pages and then go back and couldn't do it. Then keep going and then went back, couldn't do it until at the end, you know, just a solution came and my understanding of the language was deep enough for me to, oh, this is the issue. This is what's happening. And now I was able to do it again on my website.
and you've learned so much. Like, if you guys check out the website, it's www.betterbranddesigner.com, and you can see like the capabilities that Jose can do now, plus some. Like, that was done in, what was it, like finished in August of 2022?
Yeah.
Maybe around there at some point. Mm-hmm. It was before we started season 6, I think. I'm not sure. Yeah. Everything blurs together. But
it was the summer.
It's been at least half a year, if not more, since then. And the things that you're working on now, like you said, you started working in Webflow, and that creates a lot more JavaScript that you're learning, also a new platform that you're learning. I'm just curious, like, how do you stay up with all of it? Like, do you have a site that you check on to see like new things that are happening? Or are you kind of right in a space where you're just like going with the projects that you're doing and learning through those?
Yeah, the projects, I think to the latest, I kind of go with the projects that I'm doing. I'm always playing with all the platforms. Like, I have not done a project on Shopify yet, but I have played with it. So I feel confident on when that project comes, like, I know I can do it. Since I fell in love with Webflow, I'm also playing with that. And I feel like I'm always doing stuff on Squarespace. So I just try to keep up with that. I do follow all the companies in their social media, like the main companies, just to see when they announce like an update. So I keep my eye out and see. Also, with Squarespace, it's very good that you become a Circle member, because they give you early access to new features that come and they can explain it deeper.
And discounts.
And discounts, yeah, do it. And you can always kind of learn and give it a try before you start launching it or designing websites with it. But aside from that, I just keep playing around, keeping my eyes out. I'm in a couple of newsletters, but nothing that I can tell you like, this is it. This is how I learn. I just keep my eyes out and always working on different things. In this technology world, everything is updated all the time. So everything is changing very quickly. So you are bound to find these little changes very quickly.
Do you have a prediction on the what's new that'll come out for website builders? Maybe specifically Squarespace, because that's what we use most.
I don't know. The Fluid Engine update was very unexpected to me, honestly. And I really like it. It's very great. It's an amazing, amazing use of grids. If you understand more web developing, you can also play around with how they're used if you understand grids.
I feel like maybe they'll make the grids easier to change the sizing of. Because we were talking like the grids aren't even square. Why aren't they square? I think that they're going to be able to make them like square and you can change the sizing.
Yeah, I feel like that should be the next update they do there in Squarespace for sure. Like having how big are the squares, like you make them more of a rectangle longer. I feel like that will give that. And that's totally possible if you understand. So I can see that being a big update soon. For sure. That's a
good
one.
Can you code them to be different right now?
I haven't tried, but I've been wanting to lately because I have done when I create my own grid, I take out all like the older sections, like the before, would you know that you can still use it before they have the grid, before it was the Fluid.
Oh yeah, with the columns and like creating your own,
and you
the
grab
basic,
that.
The basic editor. Yes.
The basic editor, and I have done my own grids there. That's that's kind of been my approach. Whenever the Fluid doesn't do what I need, I just go straight to that and just create my own grid. But lately it has come to my mind in my random thoughts while I'm taking showers that maybe I should start trying to see if I can play with the grids.
I'm sure. And like, if not now, they'll come out with something that'll be like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how often they come out with stuff, but it's got to be soon. Cause I think that's kind of the frustrating part about Fluid. Like there's a lot that I love about Fluid, but that is probably the most frustrating. I'm like, why are they not squares? It's literally called Squarespace. I don't understand.
Need to be square.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. It has been so wonderful getting to talk with you and hearing more about your process and just your ideas on working with designers and other developers. And I'm just so thankful to have you here.
Likewise, this has been so much fun. I'm so excited. I was looking forward to this for so long.
Yeah, and I have lots more questions. So if you guys want a part two with Jose, let us know and maybe we'll put you on for next season. I think I could ask you a million questions or we can just like geek out about stuff.
You can just do that. I always love to talk to you, so this is very easy.
Well, I know you've already talked about it throughout our conversation, but just for our listeners, can you share again the services that you offer?
Yes. So you can always go to my website, jroadev.com, and you can always go to my services tab. I mainly have 4 different offerings. The main one is, of course, the full site development. You can also hire me for semi-custom development, which is just like you might not need the entire website, but you need a big chunk of it. Or you can always hire me for hourly for upcoming support. That's when we talk about that question, that anything that might come up. And my last one that is more recent, I also started offering monthly maintenance. But yeah, those are my main offers. I am very flexible. I love to talk to people. I love to see what your needs are. And I always come up with different things that fit what it is that you need. I don't believe in cookie cutter type of deal. Of course, I have some services to keep me on some guidelines, but I always am changing them around depending on the need of your project.
Yes, I love that. And if you guys haven't looked at his website, you should. He has all of his great websites on there that he's done with me, with our friend Daniela, other ones for other clients, but I think Daniela and I are your favorite clients. So
yeah, definitely. Like my
that's
my favorite projects
most.
Come from you guys. Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for being on the podcast. I hope you have a great rest of your week. All of you guys have a great rest of your week. If you have questions for Jose, you can add them to Instagram on our post and he can answer them from there. Or you can just send him a message yourself too.
Yes, of course.
All right. Thank you guys. We will see you again next week. Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Subscribe wherever you're listening to make sure you don't miss an episode. And we'd be forever grateful if you left us a review on Apple Podcasts. We bet you've got designer friends who'd enjoy it too, so share it with them.
If you'd like to submit an inbox question for us to answer on air, or you want to get in contact with us directly, email us at inbox@betterbranddesigner.com.
Our Facebook community is one of the most positive, supportive, and fun groups we've ever been a part of. We'd love for you to join us. Search for Better the Brand Designer Podcast on Facebook.
If you love these conversations between designer friends and would like to support us, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/betterpodcast.
And visit us online at betterbranddesigner.com to learn more about our podcast and snag major discounts on our favorite resources.
Special thanks to our producer, John, from Wayfair Recording Co. See you guys again next week.